Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, this whole week's going to be special, so I'm going to say this one's going to be special or that one's going to be special. This one is going to be special, but what's also going to be special is what we're doing 2 weeks from now. So instead of Radio Row, which we've done for 27 years now, dating back to Minneapolis in 1992, we're going to do something called Crab Cake Row. We're offering a cup of soup or bowl of soup for anybody that wants to come out to any of our shows. We're going to be live from 9 until 5 beginning on February 5th at Fadley's in Lexington Market. We're going to have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, including these Raven scratch-offs that are going to be lucky Super Bowl scratch-offs. Hopefully it's a Purple Pep Rally. We started Fadley's on the 5th. 6th will be at Costas. 7th, we're going to be at Coco's. The 8th, which is Thursday, at State Fair. And then the 9th, hopefully the Friday before the Super Bowl, we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. Lucas headed to Las Vegas if the Ravens win here this week. This guy here gave us some thrills that night in Tampa. It was January the 28th, 2001. So on the 23rd anniversary of the first Purple Rain in Super Bowl 35, we welcome Brandon Stokely back onto the program. We always seem to forget about all that Colt stuff. And I know at one point I forgot about the Broncos thing, which is even more hilarious. But I did think of you when Peyton Manning was stalking the sidelines with his kid, who I'm sure you're like Uncle Brandon to at this point. And he was down there and I thought, is he putting that 2006 whammy on us that you were a part of back in the day? You know, when you came in here and took our lunch money, because I remember that. And then I thought, nah, it turned out to be good luck. So there is no whammy on all of this. There's just good memories. And you being a guy watching from afar at your alma mater here in Baltimore trying to do it again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing but good karma coming your way from Peyton, from myself. So it's all good, Baltimore. That was a nice win. Taking that next step, right? It's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes those bye weeks, man, they seem great. But when you're rolling like the Ravens were rolling, you just want to keep it going. I mean, look no further than 2012. You know, when I was on that Denver Broncos team, that the Ravens came in and upset us. So, but they found a way to get it back going there in that second half. But it was a good win. Good win. Knock some of that rust off. Get ready for that AFC Championship game.
Now listen, I had Kim Herring on, who lost a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. You've won big games, lost big games. You were part of a lot of really good teams with Peyton. And what was the best team you played on? Is that the team that won, or was there? There were five or six of those teams that if something the ball rolled the right way against Tom Brady, you guys would have been the chance. But like, it feels to me like your best team might not have been the team that won.
Yeah, I think the best team was the 04 or 05 Colts teams. We got a little defense to go with our offense, and you know, we just couldn't finish it off there until finally 06. But I think it was that 05 team, possibly. We got beat by, I think it was the Steelers there in the playoffs. So yeah, you know, it's a hard thing to do in the NFL. It's one game in the playoffs, and if you don't play really good football, you're going to lose. And so it's not a, you know, it's not the best of seven like you get in, you know, all these other sports. It's just one. And I felt like that 2012 Broncos team I was on was as good as any also. We were rolling. It was Peyton's first year, and we had a really good defense. And, you know, next thing you know, Flacco throws this Hail Mary, we go to overtime, and you know, a guy we never heard of all of a sudden kicks a game-winning field goal, and now he's the best damn kicker in the, you know, we've ever seen in the NFL. So things like that happen in the NFL. But, I would say a couple of those teams were probably the best teams I was on, and we didn't even win it with those teams.
Was that the greatest game you ever played in, or do you not think about it that way because you lost it, that Denver game too? Because it was cold as hell. I was there. You know, it's back and forth. Touchdown, touchdown. Everybody's laying your big punches. Special teams. Like, that game kind of had – I remember going to the bathroom with Eric DaCosta during overtime, and you could see your breath in the press box. It was so cold that day. I mean, it was just, well, I was wearing hand heaters in the press box, and I just remembered this is the greatest game I've ever seen. Like, I just felt that way about it. And having seen all these great games between the Chiefs and the Bills, and you know, every year we get a couple of pretty great games. That, boy, that was a great game, man.
Not if you lose. It's not a great game.
All right. What are you talking about? I'm just checking.
No. Like, no, yeah, no. I mean, come on. So definitely not a great game for me. And one of the ones I was actually talking about that game with Joel Dreesen, a teammate tight end, yesterday. We were watching some of the games together, and I asked him if he has watched that game, if he's watched the replay of it at all and the film of it. And he has. I never have, because that's our last game of the season. And, you don't need to go in and watch film on Monday anymore. The season's over, right? So I've never watched that game and never gone back and seen a couple plays. I'd like to, but at the same time, you know, it's like all it's going to do is be more painful, I think. So,
it's amazing, dude, is when I think of you, I think about glory and championships and your rings, and you show me that god-awful Colts ring that, you know, like just all of like your career, your success, your relationship with Peyton, like all of that. I don't think about how awful the awful is, right? I mean, you were a part of the awful here in 06. Like, my wife has video of me blubbering that night that you guys came in the field goal night, the 06 night. Like the losses are just awful, and everybody who ever won, every fan has experienced. Ask the Cowboys how they feel right now. Ask the Bills fans, right? Like, yeah. Or the Bills players, or like everybody loses except one team, and you tasted it twice in all the years you played, and it's beautiful. But like, you bring up any of the other ones, everybody's got what Lamar had going on at halftime on Saturday, which is I've lost a couple of them. You got to win them. If you're going to be the next level, you got to win a couple of them. And Peyton didn't win as many as he wanted to win, you know?
Well, none of us did, you know. I mean, like, I feel like I left three Super Bowl rings out there, you know. I mean, I felt like I could have had five total. Ended up with two, not complaining. But, you know, I think for me, the losses sting more than the wins feel good. It's just like, and they just linger, and they and that's just kind of how it is, right? You think about the what ifs a lot more than you think about, you know, the Super Bowl win and how great some of those times were. That's just, you know, that's the nature of sports. You know, you look at that guy missing that field goal last night, and you think about some of the close calls, and you know, would you, could you, should you have made that play or not? You know, why did you do certain things? Those are the things that just stay with you for so long. So, you know, the wins are great, but man, those losses, they don't ever go away.
I'll get to the game and Lamar in a minute, but I just want to get to you. Brandon Stokely is here. He is out in beautiful Denver, Colorado. In the house that Peyton built and doing sports radio, because he always idolized what I did every time. Ever since I brought him in here, we went through all that Cajun nonsense back. We were both pimple-faced kids over at the barn and having fun. All these years later, I've done 27 Super Bowl radio rows. This is the year we're not going. I'm doing this special thing for the Maryland Food Bank and for Hunger here, really shining a spotlight on 100 other charities and doing all the crap that I'm doing. But Super Bowl week, back in the day, we would get broken down football players coming in. It was always about charity, though. It was always, you know, Peyton come by, it was about Pepsi Man of the Year, but there was always something they were doing for kids or something they were doing in the community, or there's always an angle for every event that I did, you know, in all those years. But I always had broken down players and players with CTE and hardships and all of that. I had Kim Herring on. He's like, I'm healthy, I'm lovely, I'm beautiful, I'm happy. I'm like, you know, I want more of that. So, like, give me a little bit of, like, what's Brandon Stokely's life like? Because it feels to me like you're pretty healthy and you're doing okay as a former player who played the game for a long time. And I think you probably had a couple concussions, as I remember it.
Yeah, so far so good, you know. So, you know, we'll see. It's football's a tough sport. It's a violent sport. And, you know, it was a different era that we played in than compared to now. So, you know, you didn't have the awareness of the concussions and how to treat it and how to, you know, protocols and like it is nowadays. So different era of football. And so, you know, we'll see.
But you're doing okay.
I mean, look at me.
I love the healthy, happy stories. Kids, what's going on? You got kids running around. I mean, Bo Ware was here.
I got a 20-year-old. I got a 20-year-old in college, second year in college, and I got a junior in high school. So, yeah, no complaints. They're great, you know. So family's healthy, and, you know, that's the most important thing. And so, yeah, they're good.
And you talk football for a living now, like literally. So when people talk to you about Lamar and about this offense and about things you've seen and things you've never seen before and things that defensive coordinators are trying to see, and quarterbacks are getting tricky now. Fake slides, I mean, stuff that they just shouldn't be doing. Stopping, Lamar just stops. Everybody's kind of afraid to hit him. It's crazy. What Lamar is doing and what he's attempting to do over these 2 weeks. And we've never played an AFC Championship game here, right? You talk about the game we played out in Denver, Mile High, and like every game we ever played was on the road. We've never had this game here as a
Wow.
franchise. 1971 Colts played the Raiders here. Very young John Madden, Johnny Unitas in that game. But that's the last time the game was here, was 53 years ago, AFC Championship game.
Wow.
Well, you guys screwed it up when you came in and beat us in 06. You know what I mean? A couple of these games we've lost where we had an
Yeah.
opportunity to maybe be that team. This is the year that it's all come to them and it's Mahomes, and here we are. And Brandon, I can't begin to tell you, you won a Super Bowl here where there was no expectation. There was just a
Right.
thrill ride, right? By the time Flacco won one, we had had the Lee Evans and the Cundiff thing and lost a couple of games, and it felt like, my God, finally. With this thing with Lamar, and especially last year, nobody wanted him out in the open market, and the chip he has and where they are, like, this city is about to explode here. And you know that because you played here, but like where it is, we've never experienced this before, but nobody's experienced Lamar before.
Yeah, I think when you look at Lamar, obviously a lot of success. He's probably going to win his second MVP. But he had one playoff win going into last week. And so it's all about trying to take that next step. And I like what they did offensively this year, changing the coordinator and, trying to take that passing game to the next level and getting a different perspective on it, I think, and also upgrade those positions around him. And they've done a good job. And Lamar's had a great year, obviously. And he's just a tough guy to deal with if you're a defense. If they can get that passing game going like it was when he won that first MVP. So I think with his legs and with the ability now in the passing game and taking that next step in the passing game, they're tough to deal with. When I watched the Ravens over the last few years, to me, there was just too much gray area in their passing game. And it was like the receiver was doing one thing and the quarterback was thinking another thing. And it just didn't seem like they were on the same page. It just seemed like it was too much street ball there. And at a certain point, you can't play backyard football all the time. You have got to have your receiver and quarterback on the same page. And it seems like it's so much better this year for whatever reason. And I think having the distraction of the contract probably helps. And they got a good defense to go with it. And when you're playing at home and they earn that number one seed, they're going to be tough to deal with in the AFC Championship game. It's going to be a good game, though. You saw Kansas City and what they're made of. They're champions there. So that's going to be a great environment, and it should be a great game.
What do you make of this Chiefs team, Brandon? I mean, you've seen them a couple times out in Denver. I mean, you do Denver radio and seeing them, but and seen them for years. And everybody in your division is trying to chase them. No different here. And we always thought this pathway for Lamar would be Burrow, Allen, Mahomes. You have to beat all these quarterbacks, maybe on the road. This pathway's been different for him, and part of the pathway is Chiefs haven't been as good. Chiefs haven't been as good offensively. They've dropped balls, they've had issues. But they're here and they're knocking on the door and they have to do it on the road, not at home. And it feels like maybe this defense is the best version of a defense they've had to maybe deal with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, because they know down the line it's they're gonna have to beat them, not necessarily an aged Russell Wilson or whatever the Raiders were throwing out in their own division. Part of what Spagnuolo tried to build there is we're gonna see Lamar on a cold day, hopefully in Kansas City. But however it goes here, this is about stopping Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen, the mobile, gadgetry, weird, different than a drop back, can run, can do different things. And offense is built and designed around what their strengths are.
Yeah, I think when you look at Kansas City, obviously they've taken a step back this year. But the standard is been at such a level. And they had a transition last year with Tyreek Hill and kind of moving on from him, starting to go with some younger guys, some draft picks that they got from that trade. And they bulked up their offensive line a couple years ago. So they're making a little bit of a transition, and it hasn't gone as smoothly offensively for them. They put some a lot of resources into that defense, and the defense is really good this year. They do a good job. Their defensive coordinator, like you talked about, Steve Spagnuolo, he's done a great job there. So, but offensively, they've just been a little bit off. And you know, when they run the ball, I think that's the key for them is their running game and Pacheco. He runs the ball as hard as anybody in the NFL. He's a dynamic running back. But when they can get that running game going, their offense can look good. But when they don't have that running game and now they're just relying on Mahomes with those receivers, the lack of playmakers that they have, you know, Kelsey's still getting it done, obviously. I don't think he's what he was, you know, 3-4 years ago, but he can still get it done. Mahomes, that's a security blanket. But the rest of the guys around him in that passing game leave a lot to be desired. So I think for the Ravens, you got to look at the Chiefs and say, hey, we need to slow down that running game. And you saw it against the Bills. I mean, that running game set everything else up, and they were able to dictate the game and control the game and take some of the pressure off that passing game of Mahomes.
Well, so much of this is Lamar, Lamar, Lamar. And when I think about what Eric has built around him, whether it was giving Odell Beckham maybe too much money to give him a bit of a binky, where they are with Mark Andrews and him going out and Isaiah Likely being excellent, Zay Flowers being the draft pick, the wide receiver that we've been waiting for since you,
finally.
Brandon Stokely.
Finally.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right. We've been waiting for him since you. And Bateman being involved, but more than that, the running game and having Dobbins taken away from them and this running back by committee and our buddy Anthony Mitchell's kid out running around, you know, before he had the game taken away from him. But defensively, we spent last spring like worried about Lamar's contract and all that, but like, who's rushing the quarterback? What are we going to do? We're losing Calais Campbell. How are we going to step up? What's up with this Kyle Hamilton guy? They drafted a safety and they drafted a center with 2 first-round picks. How is that going to equate to a Super Bowl? And I mean, Kyle Hamilton's become like this Swiss Army knife. Roquan Smith, the notion that this franchise would trade for a lottery pick, give him big money in the middle of the season a year and a half ago, and have him become like sort of this latter-day Ray Lewis, and how it's inspired Patrick Queen around him, and how the secondary has responded to Marlon Humphrey being injured, and how Justin Madubuike has really established himself as the best interior lineman in a sport. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. They just got a lot going on right now that's going to be, as you know, impossible to keep together. I mean, it feels that they're going to bring a U-Haul in the back and pull coordinators out of here when this is over with, that this band is not for long around Lamar. And Lamar has a special group of talent this year that's not going to be easy to replace.
Look, I mean, that's what the Ravens do, man. I mean, they find guys all over the place, and they've done such a great job since I was drafted, you know, back in the day, you know, since 99. Before that, obviously, with Ozzie and building that culture there and setting that standard there. And it's just it's continued now with Eric taking over, and they do such a great job of finding the right guys and putting them in the right place to be successful, coaching them up well. But you're right. You're thinking like this year, maybe they're taking a step back heading into this year with the changes with the coordinators and what is it going to look like? And then all of a sudden they take a big step forward, and that's just what they do. And, you know, some of those guys, like, you know, you're like, hey, I don't know if that guy is going to help them much this year. And they turn out to be great players. So it's just something that they do. They built a standard there. They've had the continuity and consistency from the front office down for so long now. And it pays off. And so you give those guys a lot of credit, scouting department, development, coaches, from the top down, from Steve Bisciotti down. They've done a great job of continuing that standard and, you know, just delivering year in and year out.
Brandon Stokely is here. He is out in Denver, Colorado. He caught a big pass back in Super Bowl 35. It will be the 23rd anniversary when the Ravens get together with the Chiefs this week. January 28th. You don't forget January 28th, 2001, and that glorious night at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. I wrote a book about that one and the second one. We are featuring lots of folks this week. Joe Flacco's coming on. You caught some passes from him as well. Brian Billick will be here. Marvin Lewis, a whole bunch of folks. Kim Herring from the Super Bowl 35 team. So I'm looking forward to that. The NFC side, because you do sports radio for a living, I want to like throw some professional stuff at you above and beyond Perfect. Lamar and the Mahomes. But on the NFC side, this is also I mean, it's either going to be the best night of our lives and we're all going to be in the streets of Baltimore sort of half watching this game, or it's going to be morbid. I mean, literally, there's no in-between with the championship game at home. But the second game's going to happen and it's going to matter. And, boy, the Ravens have waxed both of these teams, right? Like, so you look at it, and if you're a Raven fan, you're like, Brock Purdy? I don't know, you know. But and Jared Goff trying to get back to a Super Bowl. You talk about losing one and having sort of that piss and vinegar that you want to have, and the whole city of Detroit. I mean, it's a good story either way. It's always a great story for the Super Bowl if somebody new gets into this thing. But the San Francisco story and where that is, boy, the Ravens sort of tarnished both of those teams during the course of the season. The NFC feels a little weaker.
Yeah. You know, I would be careful with that thought process though. I think when you look at both those teams, obviously they're very talented. That's why they got to the NFC Championship game. I mean, I look at the 49ers as you know, maybe probably the most talented team in the NFL. Obviously, them and the Ravens with what they have there. And you're right. I was surprised Baltimore was able to go into San Francisco and control that game like they controlled that game towards the end of the regular season. I was really surprised by that. And obviously that game against Detroit early in the season, I mean, they just manhandled Detroit in that football game. But I will say this, you know, you brought up how they did. They beat both those teams, and they beat the 49ers late in the season. Well, there was once upon a time in 2012 where my Denver Broncos team went to Baltimore and just absolutely waxed the Ravens, right? And then a few weeks later, we're at home in a playoff game against Baltimore, and we lose that game. So that's the crazy thing about the NFL. Every game takes a life of its own, and every game is unique and is a one of one. So, you know, what you did 3-4 weeks ago, man, that doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. So I think when you look at the 49ers and their talent and what they can bring to the table, they'll obviously make a lot of adjustments from that previous game. So I think if you're Baltimore, you probably should be pulling for Detroit. You know, if you do win next week, I mean, that's the most favorable matchup, I would think, over San Francisco. San Fran just scares me with the talent they have offensively. So, but first thing you got to do is get there, right? You got to win this week. And I know it's going to be a great environment. I mean, that place is going to be rocking. It should be a great football game.
All right. Well, stay warm out there in Colorado in this winter. I always think of Jack Torrance and The Shining out there in Colorado. But
that's right.
But, you know, I mean, nothing like those Rocky Mountains out there to get out on the slopes and do all the stuff you're doing. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're healthy. I'm glad you're well. I'm glad you're still talking sports. And, you know, at some point you get to come in and be an alum. I mean, you still look good in purple, Brandon, you know.
Oh, I love it. You know, that's my spot, man. I mean, they drafted me in 99, so I got to spend 4 great years there. And then I got to finish my career there. No one remembers that because I didn't do anything. But I was so fortunate, blessed to be able to start my career in Baltimore and finish my career in Baltimore and be a part of that organization. So, you know, I'm always a Raven and I'm pulling for them this weekend. Hopefully they can take that next step and get back to another Super Bowl. So they're a fun team and it's a great organization. So I'm going to be pulling hard for them this weekend.
You know, I buried the hatchet with Indianapolis, I would kick you and them in the chops by saying, you know, something anti-Indianapolis about those years. But I'm going to be nice to you and say we have a chance to write our own script here in another championship. But we'll never have Prince play halftime like you guys did. So we kind of lost out on that back in 06. Brandon Stokely joining us here from Denver, Colorado. Always number 80 in the program and one of my favorite people. We're catching up with lots of Super Bowl 35 folks here this week. We are doing the Cup of Super Bowl Crab Cake Row. Begins on February 5th. We'll be telling you more about that in the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.